Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Right, it's Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana, with your anchor, Chris Okunewa. And as usual, I've got my regular partner in the building with me. I'm talking about no any other person other than Emmanuel Etim, fondly called Emiet. I was away for about 2-3 weeks, and Emiet, you did a yeoman's job by holding fort, and
that's what's up.
Back.
That's what's up.
Back and having you around as well.
Big pleasure,
what
Chris.
What a return it will be.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to be on the broadcast and also having a conversation with you here on Radio Africana. Big pleasure.
Thank you so much for holding fort all the while. I remember the last time here, I joined you remotely, and we talked about the Champions League. I knew you were going to come to that later on. I predicted a narrow victory for Inter Milan.
But Inter
Milan got the beating of their life. That's the biggest win in a UEFA Champions League final. So that's how wrong I was.
Yeah.
You know, that's football.
It happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So today on the show, I mean, in case you're just joining us or you're joining us for the very first time, this is an Afrocentric magazine show. What we do on this show, we try to give the African stories the proper perspective that it deserves, you know, changing the narrative around stories, development, happenings around Africa. So on this show, we have the news and current affairs segment where we get to bring you updates, happenings in terms of politics, conflict in motherland Africa. And after which we showcase a particular culture in Africa. Today we'll be showcasing a culture in Africa, in East Africa. I'm just letting the cat out of the bag a little there. We'll be profiling a particular culture in East Africa for this week edition of the culture segment of the show. Then after that, we'll bring you entertainment news. You know, watch entertainment now without the input of Africa, Afrobeat, of course, taking over the world, and a lot of things. Art, entertainment, generally, you want to give it to Africa. So we tend to bring you updates on the entertainment front from the African angle. And we always end it with what the segment we always have a little bit of bias for.
Yeah, sport.
That's the sport segment. So once again, welcome to Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana, with your man, Chris Okunewa, and Emmanuel Etim. We're moving on. I mean, setting the ball rolling proper on the show. We're starting off from East Africa. And now, the head of the UN peacekeeping mission in the Democratic Republic of Congo has had talks with Rwandan-backed rebels about protecting civilians in area under their control in the East. Bintou Keita, the UN Secretary General's special representative, said the rebels spoke of wanting a peaceful solution to the crisis, which escalated in January. with her capture of the major city of Goma. She said she had brought a spirit of listening and exchange to the discussions in Goma. Yesterday, a little more detail has been released about the progress made at the summit. I mean, definitely, this is a welcome development. The rebels now are open to, you know, peaceful resolution to the crisis bedeviling Congo Democratic Republic. Of course, Rwanda has been accused of backing the rebel, but it doesn't matter at this time who are involved, who the major players or actors are in this crisis or conflict in East Africa. The thing is, one of the warring factions, the rebels, are saying now they are open to peaceful resolution.
I mean, it's always what we clamor for on the African continent, Chris. Enough of the commotion and violence and, you know, rebels attacking and all the whatnot. So any news that, you know, propels some sort of resolution is what I stand for. So I think that's quite commendable.
Yeah, that the conflict has led to killings and displacement of thousands of people. So you can imagine.
Yeah, there are always casualties.
Yeah, definitely. Finding a peaceful resolution to issues like this indeed is a welcome development. Now let's leave Congo and go on to... before we come to that, let's have a look at this one in Zambia, in Southern Africa. Now, Zambia's former president, Edgar Lungu, who died last week, left instructions that his successor, Hakainde Hichilema, should not be anywhere near his body. A family spokesman has said, this is the latest development in the bitter field over funeral plans for the late president following his death in South Africa at the age of 68. The government had planned to fly his body back home on Wednesday, but failed to do so because of a dispute with Lungu's family and his political party, the Patriotic Front, PF, over money and funeral arrangements. The two leaders were long-standing political rivals, with Hichilema defeating Lungu in the 2021 election after failing in five previous attempts. In an address to Zambians on Thursday evening, the president did not refer directly to the reported wishes of his predecessor, but reiterated a call for peace, a call for love, and a call for unity in this time of collective grief. Man, this is really bizarre, if you ask me. I mean, the late former president, that's coming from his family now, gave an instruction before he died.
Just say stay clear.
His successor should stay clear of his funeral.
You've got to respect the dead, Chris.
You think...
it's politics.
Could this just be a political...
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it possible for the family or the political party of the deceased former president to make up this? Because it's rather funny to me. Ordinarily, when a former president died, it is the responsibility of the government to take charge, to give him a befitting burial, lying estate and all of that. But now, instructing that a current president who is your successor should not come near your body or...
Yeah, it's crazy. You called it bizarre, I agree, but you've got to respect the wishes of the dead. So if you say stay clean, it was important for you to mention if this is a cooked up story from the family.
I'm not saying that. That's what the family said. Yeah. That was his instruction.
Yeah.
But
you think the family could have...
I'm just saying, in politics, just like in war and love, anything or everything is fear.
Yeah, but if I'm the president, I just stay clear of. If the man who's no longer here says don't come close.
Definitely.
Nightmares are real. So
you wouldn't, particularly in Africa.
Yes.
Yeah, you just want to stay clear of the barrier, you know, activities or...
Just leave it to the family.
Leave it to the family to handle. Interesting. All right. This is... Before we talk about this one that I tag as a welcome development, now let's go to talk Nigeria, our own country, Emiet. Nigeria's president has pardoned the late activist Ken Saro-Wiwa 30 years after his execution sparked global outrage. Along with eight other campaigners, Mr. Saro-Wiwa was convicted of murder. They hanged in 1995 by the then military regime. Many believed the activists were being punished for leading protests against the operations of oil multinationals, particularly Shell, in Nigeria's Ogoni land. Shell has long denied any involvement in the executions. Though the pardons have been welcomed, some activists and relatives say they do not go far enough. As well as issuing the pardons on Thursday, Nigerian President Bola Tinubu bestowed national honors on Mr. Saruwiwa and his fellow campaigners, who were known as the Oguni Nine. The nine men, Mr. Saruwiwa, Barenem Kiobe, John Pune, Baribor Bera Felix Nuate, Paul Levula, Saturday Dube, Nodu Ewo, and Danen Boko, were among dozens who received the honors as part of Nigeria's annual Democracy Day. You are from the South, the Niger Delta in Nigeria. I expect you to relate with it than I do, though.
Yeah.
I'm from Southwest, but my path in the Southwest of Nigeria also strayed into the Niger Delta. That's the coastal area of Ondo State, so I can also relate a bit. Now, you remember the story of Ken Saruwiwa, the Oguni Nine, in 1995. Posthumously, he's been pardoned and given a national honors. What do you make of this gesture by President Bola Ahmed Tinubu?
It's just what you called it, a gesture, trying to, I think, buy a bit of sentiment. This is literally what you call medicine after death, genuinely.
Yeah.
Aside from his activism, he was a brilliant author, Ken Saruwiwa.
I read a few of his books, particularly
he was.
In the
very, very
world.
Intelligent.
He had some account.
Yeah, but again,
brilliantly shared.
Going against the government often on the continent, Chris, there are repercussions. At times, it goes straight to the grave, which, you know, happened to Ken and the other gents who were executed. But I think this is just a gesture. Nothing more to say from the... I don't see how he benefits the family or... But his legacy, I think, is just erasing memories or history that called him a rebel. He wasn't. He was an activist. You know, there's that thin line between activism and rebellion. So for me, good gesture. Yeah. One of the good things President Tinubu has done since he, you know, took power.
Well, not bad.
Not bad, yeah.
Yeah, but if you ask me, I think it should be, it can be better put in a way, not pardon, exonerated should have been the right thing to say here.
Fair enough,
how I'm saying it, because to be honest, these people weren't tried fairly. You remember the regime of late Sani Abacha?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, many Nigerians, they remember that with a lot of dreadfulness and horror. And there wasn't any chance for someone like Ken Saruwiwa
to plead his case,
to get a fair hearing, to plead their case. Mm-hmm. So they were summarily executed. Probably, many argue or many believe they were innocent of all the charges. They were trumped up charges. Mm. And then they were campaigning for a just cause. That is the cleaning up of Ogoni land and giving what is duly, you know, deserving to the people that are residing in a land that is rare, blessed, or rich with oil. It's about taking the resources of the land and not giving back to the community. That's what they were campaigning against. I didn't read or hear anything like militancy from the group. Mm. It is very much possible then that some group took advantage of that and unleashed mayhem on workers and all of that, but definitely it wasn't coming from someone like Ken Saruwiwa and the other people involved in this. I think it's a welcome development if you ask me, but I think the word pardon to me do so little. I think exonerated would have been the perfect word, and the national honors definitely should be really a welcome thing, fully accepted by the family. You remember that of MK Abiola posthumously?
Yeah.
He was given the biggest national honor in Nigeria because he definitely won the 1993 general elections
before Maradona and all that.
So a lot of back history, you know, a lot of history to forget or to learn from in Nigeria.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully we don't have a repeat of such in our dear country again. Good one from President Tinubu, but if not too late, why not just change the word pardon to exoneration? You know, that's, you know, get him exonerated. He's not guilty after all.
Yeah.
I mean, the Oguni Nine. So that's that from Nigeria. Now this is pleasing to me. It has to do with economy. Now China has said it is ready to drop its tariffs, its charges on import from all 53 African countries with which it has diplomatic relations. The move announced at the China-Africa Cooperation meeting comes as the continent is facing the possibility of increased tariff on its product entering the US. China is Africa's largest trading partner, a position It has had for the last 15 years, with African exporting goods to the Asian nation worth around $170 billion in 2023. A joint ministerial statement criticized certain countries, certain country efforts to disrupt the existing international economic and trade order through the unilateral imposition of tariffs. It then called on the U.S. to resolve trade disputes on the basis of equality, respect, and mutual benefit. The zero tariff move, when implemented, will be an extension of the deal made last year for China to drop tariffs on goods from 33 African nations classified as least developed. The expanded list will include some of China's largest trading partners on the continent, including South Africa and Nigeria. China has not said when the decision will come into effect. Very good one here. Zero tariff on goods that are going to be imported into China from Africa. That's the way to help out a struggling continent economically, not that of US that we've seen, you know, some months ago. You see this as a welcome development.
Yes, it is, Chris. It is a welcome development. Just try to think the sports of the United States.
Yeah, we hope the United States can borrow a leap from these and make things a bit easier for African countries to trade and to generate revenue that they sure need than any other continent. All right, that will be the beat and the news and current affairs segment of African Weekly, live on Radio Africana. We're going to take a pause, and when we come back, it will be time for us to showcase a particular culture in Africa, because on this show, we have a dedicated segment to profile African culture. So today, we'll be talking about a particular tribe and culture in East Africa. You want to stick around and learn about this culture. But then, before then, enjoy this one. From Femi Kuti, he called this one Sorry Sorry. We'll be back.
Sorry,
right, sorry, from Femi Kuti. That's the son of late legendary Afro singer talking Fela Anipulako Kuti. Femi Kuti has gotten several Grammy nominations just to give credence to his work as one of the top Afro singer, full of conscience, I mean his work. Welcome back to Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana. We were done with the News and Current Affairs Department, and segment, beg your pardon. And now we are on to the Culture and Tourism segment. On this segment, like I've hinted, we are going to be profiling a particular culture in East Africa today, and the culture is in a country called Uganda. All right, we're stopping at Uganda today on the show, and today we'll be looking at the Baganda people. Now, the Baganda are a Bantu ethnic group from the Buganda region of Uganda, known for their rich history and unique culture. Buganda was a powerful kingdom, and its influence continues to be felt in Uganda today. The Baganda have a strong cultural identity with traditions in language, music, dance, and social structures, as well as a history of both powerful kings and encounters with colonialisms. And now let's talk about the history a bit. The Baganda are believed to have migrated to their current location between the 13th and 16th centuries. Buganda became one of the Lacustrine kingdoms alongside others like Bunyoro and Ankole. Now, Buganda grew to become one of the most powerful states in East Africa during the 18th and 19th centuries. The kingdom experienced the British colonial rule with the Buganda Agreement in 1900, significantly imparting its governance and relationship with the British. Uganda became a republic in 1967, abolishing the monarchy. However, the Buganda Kingdom was officially restored in 1993 with the current Kabaka, that's the king, being Muwenda Mutebi II. The language is the Baganda primarily speak a language called Luganda. Not surprisingly, the name of their country is called Uganda, quite similar. The Baganda traditionally have a structure with strong emphasis on hierarchy, which the top one is the king known as Kabaka. The Baganda are organized into 52 clans, though only 46 are officially recognized today. And religion-wise, traditionally, Baganda spiritually involved worship of deities like Chibuka and Mukasa. Many Baganda have adopted Christianity or Islam. That's quite common in Africa. Lots of traditional religion practices give way for Christianity and Islam. So the Baganda people are not exception. Many of Baganda people have adopted Christianity or Islam. In terms of economy, agriculture is central to the Baganda economy, with crops like bananas called matoke in the locals call it matoke, coffee, cassava and maize being cultivated. Fishing and livestock farming are also important in the Baganda society. Baganda continues to exist as a cultural and political entity within Uganda, advocating cultural preservation and development. Let's look at the key figure now. Legendary figure in Baganda creation myth, that's talking Kintu, often associated with the first man and founder of the Kintu dynasty. Every civilization has got their own myth of origin. It's quite common across different civilizations. To the Baganda people of Uganda, their own myth of creation is, revolves around a figure known as Kintu. The supreme ruler of Buganda, holding both ceremonial and symbolic significance, is the king known as Kabaka. So, in summary, the Baganda people have a vibrant culture, beg your pardon, rooted in their history as a powerful kingdom, while their society has evolved They continue to preserve their traditions and identity within Uganda. So, like I said, the Bagana people are of Uganda. They are in Uganda. Of course, I encourage you to visit their land, visit Uganda, and learn more about the Bagana people. On tourism, there are a lot of tourist attractions in Bagana land, things you can see if you visit Bagana land today. The land boasts of several significant tourism attractions, most notably the Kasubi Tombs, a UNESCO World Heritage Site. The Kasubi Tombs are the burial ground for four Kabakas, that's the king of Buganda, and hold deep cultural and spiritual significance. Other notable attractions include Lake Bunyonyi, Murchison Falls, Bwindi Impenetrable Forest, and the Gaddafi National Mosque. That's according to some travel website. Okay, so that's that about the culture and tourism segment of the show for today. When we come back, it will be time for us to talk entertainment, and of course next week it will be time for us to showcase another culture in Africa. So today we've touched a particular culture in Uganda, talking the Baganda, you know, or Buganda. All right, that's it on the segment, the culture and tourism segment of Africa Weekly on Radio Africana. It's time for us to take another pause. You know, on this show, we enjoy a lot of music. It's part of what we do here. Never a dull moment. We also groove on the show. That's one thing I need you to know. So we take another pause, and when we come back, it will be time for us to talk entertainment. Welcome back to the show, and it's time for us to talk entertainment, and we're starting off with this one. Of course, it's happening here in Manchester, our team. one of Africa's biggest singers, Talking Dharma Platinum of Tanzania. He's in town and he's going to be performing today in Manchester. That's the Academy, to be precise. The superstar East African singer and songwriter from Tanzania will be performing live at Manchester Academy. Considered one of the most influential Afrobeat and R&B singers, Dharma Platinum's energy, fashion statement, and vocal dexterity have set him out as one of the best singers of this generation. With over 5 billion streams across all platforms, Dharma Platinum has inscribed his name as one of the greatest artists of all time, at least in Africa. So, good one. Mm-hmm. He's in town performing at the Manchester Academy. From what I got, and tickets sold out already.
Yeah, I mean, you should enjoy him. You mentioned he's one of the top recording artists from the continent.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we had Burna Boy sometime around Easter in the Co-op Live Arena, yeah. And it was an impressive turnout for him as well. Good to know that a lot of African Afro stars, Afro pop stars, are turning up and not just stopping it over in London, coming down to Manchester as well, because Manchester is also a mega city in the, not just in UK, a world mega city. So it's good to have some Afro pop vibe and presence in the city as well.
But Afrobeat is global now.
So yeah, it's global. Sad, the ticket are sold out already. Definitely, I would have loved to be there. Okay, now let's move away from Dharma Platinum and let's talk about two Nigerian female sensational singers. Nigerian singer Tems has been announced as the headliner for the first ever FIFA Club World Cup. That's the final halftime show, set to take place at MetLife Stadium in New York on July 13th. Global Citizen, the producer of the show, will broadcast the star-studded performance live and free of DSN.com, allowing fans around the world to tune in. She will be joined on stage by Colombian hitmaker Jay Bavin and American pop star Doja Cat, creating an international lineup for the historic event. Tems expressed her excitement about the show, describing it as a celebration of football, unity as well, true music. Massive one for Tems.
That's incredible, yeah.
The FIFA Club World Cup is going to be, she's going to be performing at a halftime break. Mm-hmm. That's massive.
I mean, she's a co-owner of a team at the MLS, so she's quite a big deal in the States. And shout out to her for the shoot yesterday.
She's investing. She's got some investment in the sport team in the US.
It's huge for not just Tems, but also, again, like we mentioned, Afrobeat is global.
It's global.
Yeah, it is.
That's massive there for Tems, a Grammy winner from Africa, Nigeria, precisely. Now, another Nigerian female singer doing wonder, breaking barriers, winning a college home and abroad, far and wide, is this lady called Sierra Aderibigbe, professionally known as Aria Star. Aria Star has won the 2025 BET Award for Best International Act at the 25th annual ceremony at the Peacock Theater in Los Angeles, United States. She triumphed over a competitive feed of nominees, including Tyler from South Africa, Rema from Nigeria, Black Sharif from Ghana, Uncle Wafuz from Eswatini, Annie Gabrielle from Brazil, Bashi from United Kingdom here, Ezra Collective from United Kingdom as well, Jodouard Philip from France, MC Luana Brazil, and SDM France to claim the prestigious 2025 BET Best International Act Award. Aria Star joins an elite group of African artists to have won the BET Best International Act Award, following in the footsteps of Davido in 2018, Burna Boy in 2019, 2020, 2021, and 2023, Tems in 2022, and Tyler in 2024. Massive one there for Aria Star.
Yeah, it is. They're running the world, yeah. I mean, Beyonce said who runs the world, girls, so yeah, they're doing great things.
Good one. All right, we'll take another pause, and we're going to first enjoy the music. I talk about Dharma Platinum being in town in Manchester, performing today at the Manchester Academy. We're going to enjoy something from this superstar, talking Dharma Platinum. He called this one, it was a collaboration between him and Tiwa Savage, another big singer in Africa. They called this one Fire. We'll be back after this time out.
Are you lying, sir?
Okay.
It's you, Savage.
You must sexy and don't say. Come and say, kuchinangawira Sani patie toze Kasi tacheni panira Sinifanyia choze Tange tange kajamira I say, you're fire baby
Fire, 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 fire baby
Fire, oh, oh.
Fire, 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 fire baby
Your love is sweet
Fire, 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 fire baby
Come back and win
Fire, 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 fire. Sura kito fire 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 Kini usa kabisa no more fire 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 baby
wasi wasi no akina kwa kosina yutanjema ifajiri chana uzima wana kesha kulitabiri pendo kuchina baby tena wengine wakubwa mimi watu wazima
tanga kunani kurugu mechi mkwa kwani mtoto tari wakandana Samba chumbani, yendo mesi uwanjani Sini pie simba ya
Nduma kama sulani, jinsi kuna tatem Sura zari na sani, shepu sepetu em I say,
yo fire baby yo Fire, 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 fire baby
Fire, oh, oh.
Fire, 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 fire baby Akicheka sura kito Fire, 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 fire Ini busa kabisa no more Fire, 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 fire
Let me tell you something about this bubble
Fire, fire
Love I get for him because so rubble
Fire, fire
Come and see the way they love they make me to gyrate
Fire, fire
Cause when not only him go fit enjoy my figure eight to eight The way you shock my brain I cannot explain
Over you with no shame
Baby, my life's a lie
Fire baby,
fire, 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 fire,
baby.
Fire, fire,
fire, fire, fire, fire, baby.
Your love is sweet.
Fire, 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 baby.
Come back and win.
Fire, 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 fire,
baby.
Fire,
fire,
fire, fire, fire, baby.
Fire, baby.
Fire, 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 baby.
Check us for a kito.
Fire, 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 fire.
Bini usa kabisa no more.
Fire, 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 fire.
Wasikunyati
chali Fire, fire
Ilipenzi moto Wakilifangia chali
Fire, fire
Sanipe kidogo Tekenye
Aga pole pole
Tekenye
Apaka jini
Tekenye
Aluka kidogo
Tekenye
If I give it to you
Tekenye
Will you give me sugar?
Tekenye
Oh yeah, give me
Tekenye
Come on, give me sugar
Tekenye
You're listening to Radio Africana.
And I've been living fast life, but I see it in slow. Oh no, and you see my lifestyle, I got G's in the tub. See many people there outside where they feed man's oboe. Oh no, and me a standing defender like Joseph Yobo. My girl say she want Netflix and chill,
yeah.
So I jetty get if I'm warning.
Yeah.
If you fall in love, Kelly satin.
Yeah.
You go to breakfast, I'm not capping.
Yeah.
Can you see dripple, I'm not catching.
Yeah.
I'm not faking this, no fugazi.
Yeah.
You see these feelings, I'm not catching.
Yeah.
I'm a quest and fit, I just want it.
Happiness. If I broke, now my business. I'ma show you, you go right. All I care for the night. If I broke, now my business. I'ma show you go right to. All I care for the night.
F-I-N-E-S-S-C If it be the reason why your baba wanna jealous me If you wanna take I'm serious I they do thought speed No fit to resonate I'm on a different frequency I don't think it's necessary I be done with there's somebody that could do like me Man I be like Musala coming off the right wing I cut through your defender you no need to tell me I'm a horse finesse And you know say me I'm a snack Now you can lay I go carry go Me, I got money past you if you're not careful. Finesse, you know, send me a must net.
Kele, I go carry go. If me, I get money pass you. If you don't care,
happiness. If I broke, now my business. I'ma show you, you go bright. All I care for the night. Happiness. If I broke, now my business. I'ma show you, you go bright. All I care for the night. If I broke, now my business. I'ma show you, you go right. All I care for the night. Happiness. If I broke, now my business. I'ma show you, you go right. All I care for the night.
Right, welcome back from those musical timeouts, and now we are the home stretch of Africa Weekly on Radio Africana. Now on the home stretch, what we do is to cap up the show with a sports segment. A lot to talk about on the sports segment, as usual. We've got a FIFA Club World Cup to talk about. About four teams from Africa will be participating in this revamped tournament. Though we heard that FIFA are struggling to get the tickets sold.
Black market.
I don't know. Maybe they're trying to. They've been dropping down the price steadily, and still the numbers are still not impressive. We'll wait to see and see what the numbers will look like tomorrow. But then, I reckon it's still going to be an interesting tournament, you know. And transfers, as it affects African players, we'll talk about it as well. But then we're starting off with this one. That's talking cricket. Not too big of a sport in Africa, but then South Africa doing so well, representing the continent at every cricket tournament. And now South Africa near WTC win as Australia with Bermuda Grid and Markram Century. South Africa on the verge of a historic World Test Championship win after gripping tour day against Australia. Hobling captain Themba Bavuma and 100 hitter Heidi Markram pushed South Africa to the brink of a sensational victory over Australia in a gripping World Test Championship final at Lord's Cricket Ground in London. Bavuma elevating the drama with a strained left hamstring, and opener Markram capitalized on ID beating conditions yesterday. The partner for an unbroken 143 runs against one of Australia's greatest bowling attacks to half South Africa 69 runs from an historic triumph, chasing 282 to win. The Proteas were 20-13-2 at Storms on day three in a stirring bid to win a first ICC trophy in 27 years. That would be massive for South Africa, and in a way massive for Africa. Like I said, Australia, cricket is not really, does not really gain a lot of followership in, there's not much, I don't know, maybe the World Cricket Body need to invest in African cricket, but South Africa is just doing so well, you know, winning championship at every opportunity. So that's a good thing about it, that at least Africa has got a country doing so well in cricket, even if generally the continent is not so how will I put it, invest in cricket. What do you think of this?
Yeah, correct, Chris.
All right, now let's talk about the FIFA Club World Cup. What should Africa expect? That's an article that I stumbled on the BBC that's going to give coloration to what we're going to talk about. FIFA's expanded Club World Cup offers fresh opportunities to the quartet of African side heading to the United States for the inaugural 32-team tournament. Egypt's record 12-time continental champions Al Ahly, South Africa's Mamelodi Sundowns, Wydad Casablanca of Morocco, and Tunisia's Esperance are the teams looking to outperform European super clubs and other contenders from across the globe. No African side has won the Club World Cup before now, with only two reaching the final during the 20 previous editions. But it now pays just to take part. The total prize pot stands at a staggering $1 billion, and with $475 million of that based on performance, success could secure a huge payday. Although the tournament adds more games in an already packed calendar, experienced coach Maher Kaziri said it is a dream for players to take part. Ticket sales have reportedly been slow before kickoff tomorrow, but one Sundown fan is backing the new format introduced by Gianni Infantino, the president of World Football Governing Body, which is said to be held every 4 years. Well, we have these four clubs repping Africa at this tournament, the inaugural tournament, or should I say the revamped FIFA Club World Cup. We have Al Ahly, the most successful team in the continent of Africa, when you talk about the CAF Champions League and the CAF Confederation Cup combined. And then we've got Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa, Wydad Casablanca of Morocco, then Esperance of Tunisia. Good pick, if you ask me.
And arguably the best teams on the continent. You mentioned Al Ahly, Club of the Century, Sundowns, who've been in the CAF Champions League twice, I think, in three seasons. And Wydad, top side from Morocco. So, like you mentioned, top picks. Let's see if it would be miraculously a victory for one of them. I think that would be a far-fetched prediction, but you never know. It's football.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah, the tournament will get underway tomorrow. And, you know, Al Ahly, one of African representatives, will be up against Inter Miami FC. You think they should fancy their chance in the
English? I think they will win.
They are not up against the European teams or the South American teams. Yeah. You think they're going to win, but you sounds not to be too sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tricky. Home advantage, maybe. So, with slightly tilt towards the Americans, but it's unlikely. Top side.
All right. Also, like I've said, Sundowns Mamelodi is one of the other teams representing Africa in this tournament. Then we have Esperance of Tunisia as well, repping the continent. We're waiting to see how they will fare. And tomorrow, we have big matches coming up in the tournament. Paris Saint-Germain against Atletico Madrid. What a pairing that is. Two European giants facing off from day one of this tournament. Ideally, you would have expected this should come on later on in the tournament. Why are we having this on day one of the tournament? And also tomorrow, it will be Bayern Munich versus Auckland City FC. That's from New Zealand or Australia now.
Yeah.
So, a lot of interesting matches lined up for this FIFA Club World Cup. Remember, Madrid are also in the tournament. They will be part of it. Just like us, we have, I think, Chelsea also are there participating in this tournament. But then we are more interested in how African teams that we fare at this tournament. Don't blame us if you're a bit biased towards, you're showing more of our support to the African team. That's why we are here after all. Okay. And like I said, Paris Saint-Germain will take on Atletico Madrid. Then we have Botafogo of Brazil taking on Seattle Sounders. A lot of interesting matches. We just don't have the time to bring on all the features because right now my producer in the studio, Jare, is giving me the signal. I've got 5 minutes left before I say my bye on the show. Emirates, the last thing we want to talk about on this show is the transfer gossip, particularly as it affects African players. Victor Osimhen, Ademola Lookman, Victor Mbeumo. No one talks about Achraf Hakimi. You can price him away from Paris Saint-Germain. Mo Salah has already pledged, you know, committed his future to Liverpool. That's set to, but the big stars in Africa that are probably in the news, you know, subject of transfer speculations, Victor Osimhen, Ademola Lookman, and Mbeumo from Brentford, you know. These three stars, where do you see them ending?
Yeah, four stars, actually. Yeah, three stars. I get you. Victor Osimhen, that's the most complex and complicated
transfer. We've been on these for over a year.
Yeah, just think Napoli making it quite difficult for him, and Victor himself refusing the Saudi money. I think he still wants some European glory, which is a good thing. He's still young. There's about 5-6 years more before he goes to the Middle East. In terms of Mbeumo, goodbye if Man United are able to secure
him. I think
him.
Spurs are probably the main team now because his coach Frank is moving on to Tottenham, so that could drag him along, and we heard he's open to that move now. We've heard Manchester United before now very much, I mean heavily. At the time we thought the deal was going to get over the line, but hasn't happened. Maybe I shouldn't use the word never happened. Has it happened? But Tottenham are now in the mist, you know, heavily.
I mean, if there's Tottenham, there's United, and you're a player from Cameroon, you want to come to Old Trafford, Chris. So, yes.
Not just about Old Trafford. Tottenham will be playing Champions League football next season.
No one really cares about that.
And United,
just come
only and God knows when they will be back in the Champions
just
League.
Just take him to the United Trophy room and say,
that's not what we're saying. We're talking about now and the future. What is time to win? The chance to win and the chance to compete are the biggest stage in Europe.
United is the biggest stage, even if they get relegated compared to Tottenham. But that said, I'm looking forward to that switch. Well, again, the key thing you mentioned is Frank dragging him with him. But aside from that, if it's based on footballing reasons and prestige, United, hopefully you'll see me sort his transfer out. Who again? Ademola Lookman.
Ademola Lookman. I heard Antonio Conte say he wants him at the Maradona Stadium in Naples, and they are ready to pay up to 50 million euros. But report from the Italian media say Atalanta could be holding out for 60 million euros. But
here's the current African player.
I think
of the
for
year.
50 or a bit less, I think Napoli could get him if they're serious about it. What do you think?
Let's see how it goes. As long as he stays in the top five, England, France, Germany, Spain, I'm good.
And you think he's going to be a good fit at Napoli? Because look at that Napoli squad now. They've got Kevin De Bruyne in the bag. And you add Ademola Lookman to it. Yeah, see him as the perfect replacement for Varek Steller, who leave in January. Yeah. So I think Conte is up to something this season at Napoli.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's just going to be the size of the show for today. And next week, Saturday, this show will return talking Africa Weekly, show that bring you everything Africa, news and current affairs, culture and tourism, entertainment and sport. You know, you get it on this day, on this show, on this time, 4 p.m. on Saturdays. Okay, so we'll be back here next week Saturday for a fresh edition of this show, Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana. Thank you so much, Amiet, once
Big
again
pleasure, Chris.
For being around, for holding it forth while I was away for the past weeks. It's always glad to be here, honestly, so I can't wait to do this again. Thank you, Jory, our big producer in the studio today. All right, I hope to see you guys next week Saturday. Until then, I'll say you enjoy the rest of the weekend and do have a fruitful week by the turn of the new week. Thank you.